Thank you very much. Everybody coming?
Really?
It's a nice turnout. It's been a nice day, and I can see why. It had been snowing. Could have been a different turnout. But thank you again very much for coming. I'd like to call the work session of the Lapine City Council to order at 6 o'clock. And we'll have a roll call, please. No, we don't need a roll call. I will let the record reflect that the two county commissioners are in attendance. That
Probably with this many people there, and it's a little unusual, we probably should have everyone introduce themselves and which agency they're with.
Very good.
That's probably the way.
Thank you, staff. And that's what we'll do. We'll have everybody here introduce themselves that are participating, and we'll start with the county commissioner on my left.
So also I'll convene the Deschutes County Commissioners because it is a quorum of our board too, okay. So we're going to do that kind of formal. But yeah, so Tony DeBone, Deschutes County Commissioner.
David Harms, Water District, Lapine.
Dan Barkle, Lapine City Council.
Terry Lincoln, Lapine Water.
Stu Martinez, Lapine City Council.
Brian Rolls, Lapine Water District and Lapine Special Sewer District.
I'm Eric Propp, Deschutes County. I'm the interim county administrator.
Bill Saunders, Lapine Water and Sewer.
Rick Allen, interim, long interim city manager.
Don Briner, City of Lapine Council.
Alan Unger, Deschutes County Commissioner.
And I'm Ken Molnix, the mayor.
And Tammy is going to be joining us in about 15 or 20 minutes. So if we have some more people that want to join us, you can have come right around over here.
Come on in, you guys.
Yep.
You can sit back there and be almost the mayor back there.
Yes.
You'll be a lot more comfortable.
And then we have some staff back here. Maybe you can introduce yourselves.
Ashley Williams, Lapine Water and Sewer. Lori Martin, City Recorder, Finance Officer.
Patty Morgan, Administrative Assistant.
And then I think the county has some of their senior folks here. Mm-hmm.
Dick Lelak, Deschutes County Planning Director.
Let me get one more. Good evening. I'm Peter Gutowski with the Deschutes County Planning Division in the Long Range Planning Section.
I'm Tom Anderson. I'm the County Community Development Director.
I would ask that the sewer and water, do you want to convene a meeting at this point?
Yes, we would like to convene a meeting. I'll speak for Wayne as he was sick and unable to come and apologize for that. And so we'll bring our meeting to order as well.
And that's both sewer and water?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. Having done that, I'd like to ask our resident commissioner to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Very good.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
At this time, I'd like to point out that item 4 is actually added agenda items. This is a work session, and there's not really that item on our agenda normally. So it's an open work session, and I'd like to go to the county at this time for a overview of the South County Community Plan, and we'll have it for other items, too, as we go along.
Well, thank you very much. Again, Peter Kutowski with the Long Range Planning Section. I made 20 copies of the materials that provide context for the South County Plan, and I believe in your packet I saw black and white overviews of the South County Plan. So first of all, thank you for having us here. Second time I've been in this building, and it's just a tremendous setting. What we're doing as Long Range staff is we are initiating, after coordinating with our county commission, a 18-month work program that would develop revised land use plan for South Deschutes County. And first of all, when we say South Deschutes County, we have jurisdiction, as I think probably all of you know. Our jurisdiction in the county is the rural county. But why it's so important to be here in front of all of you, many who are residents likely in the city of La Pine, is one of the real benefits of a land use plan. And a land use plan is really a guiding document that spells out goals and policies for land use and development over a 20-year period. It's been over a decade since the plan that we currently have in place has been revisited. And we heard from residents through a comp plan update process that we just finished how important it is to revisit this plan. And what's one of the two themes I want to leave you with tonight, before I leave you with the meetings that we're going to have next week, is just how important the South County plan, how important it is that it integrates with what the city of La Pine is doing. We know you're developing a transportation system plan. We know you're beginning to implement or develop an implementation plan for your zoning code. And we want to be partners in your efforts, because a lot of economic development opportunities that held the promise for jobs and employment creation are going to occur in the city of La Pine. They're going to have tangible benefits for rural residents with in your industrial area, in your downtown area, as you begin to define your own vision and path for your future. So one of the themes that we want to emphasize as part of this process is making sure that the county's plan, as we engage rural residents and stakeholders and hopefully city residents, is how do we integrate those plans so that we can collectively be supporting one another to maximize our collective visions as we go forward. So that's theme number one. Number two, that's as important, is we are committed to working with South County residents in the city, outside the city, to hear what your vision is for economic development, for land use, for resource protection, for wildlife, wildland protection in terms of wildfire. All of this is an opportunity for residents to define what you would like to see from a land use and growth development perspective. So next week, Tuesday, we are going to be at the La Pine Senior Center. And we're going to have an open house. It's a kickoff. We are really going to be looking to what your visions are for the community. We're going to have several ways to participate. You can write, if you're comfortable writing in your comments, just to give us your general feedback, that'll be available. There'll be open microphone sessions. We're going to really, it's an opportunity for you to tell us what you like about South County, what are your concerns, what's your vision, and that provides the foundation for a meeting that I'll touch on in just a second. The second meeting of next week, which is a duplicative meeting, we have one in the Senior Center. The second meeting is going to be at the Sunriver Library. Again, we want to make sure that we're extending our limited resources geographically so we can reach out to residents throughout this South County region. Same format. We want residents to really feel open, unconstrained, to tell us what your expectations are, how we can work for you to develop a plan that shapes growth and development. The last thing I'll leave you with, and Nick, if you want to provide any closing thoughts, please do so, is in February, on February 21st, and it's in this handout, we're going to bring partners, what we call partners, to La Pine High School for about a 2.5-hour meeting, so residents and stakeholders have the ability to understand what the city of La Pine's doing. What is your vision for 20 years? We've extended the invitation to your planning consultant, Deborah McMahon. What's Sunriver thinking about doing over the next 10, 20 years? You guys deserve to know. We'll have Oregon Department of Transportation there, representatives from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. We're going to invite the Rural Fire District of La Pine there. Again, it's under the theme of let's integrate our plans, let's work together, let's be effective, and let's make sure everyone understands what our representative agencies and organizations are undertaking over the next 10 to 20 years so we can all be effective in supporting one another. So we're happy to answer any questions, but again, thank you so much for having us. And I have some business cards I'll leave here. If you have friends, neighbors, colleagues who you think might be interested in getting this information, we will do whatever it takes. We will go out to your homeowners associations, neighborhood groups. Let us know how we can participate. I can't emphasize that enough, because we want to be working for all of you to develop a plan that you can be proud of and that's visionary for the next 10 to 20 years. So thank you for your time.
February 21st, did you say, Peter?
That's the partnership meeting.
Yeah, and when, what time?
That kick starts off at 5:30.
Okay.
And it's going to be at the Lapine High School.
Thanks.
Tell your friends. Let us know how we can work with you. Thank you.
And I believe that's something we could also put on our website, just as a note.
Patty.
And are there any other issues?
Well, so just along those lines, just kind of recap, what we're looking is this is going to be the South County chapter of the Comprehensive Plan for Deschutes County. And it's a section, and it's the 20-year visioning statements, the policies that we're going to put in here. So we're not going to solve all the world's problems, but we're going to say this is who we are, this is what we'd like to see in the future, this is what we're comfortable with in development. So just getting everybody in the room kind of a concept about what are we talking about here. You know, we're talking about a 20-year horizon of visioning.
But as the other chapters in the plan, we will be having some action items that we can move forward through the 20 years to address those policies.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Did I understand that there's... I talked to Chris this morning from the Planning Commission. He was saying there was going to be... This is part of this.
Yes. This is... Yeah, it's an 18-month planning project, and they're in the middle of it.
Okay. Staff, do we have anything?
On this issue?
Well,
the planning issue? No.
Okay. Anything else?
We've got it's kind of other topics. We've got a couple things.
Please.
As we were just comparing notes, we've got stuff. So we'll just kind of go through them. One of the items is transportation. We have people that are interested in maybe being heard this evening. So this is a work session of the commissioners and the city council. So we need to kind of respect the process here a little bit. We'll see how this flows. But we do have some individuals that are interested in discussing COIC's Central Oregon Cascades Transit, and Dial-A-Ride. Do you want to say something on that
sure.
a little bit? And then
I'm also the chair of COIC, Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council, and Don, Councilor Greiner, is your representative of Lapine to the board of directors also. Cascade East Transit is a transportation system that serves Central Oregon from Lapine to Warm Springs, to Sisters, to Prineville. So it's an inter-community bus system. We have been growing rides to where now it's like 80,000 rides a month when you include Bend Area Transit in it too. So it's a very, it's a rapidly growing system. We've basically cobbled together funds from other agencies, whether it's Dial-A-Ride or whether it's senior centers, Council on Aging, and other places like that to sort of pool the money to create this system. We've had the opportunity of taking local match money and multiplying it by two or three times with outside money to grow the system and to do whatever we can to accommodate the needs. One challenge in the last legislature was this BETSI credit, Business Energy and Tax Credit. That was money paid in by business that was able to be picked up by Cascade East Transit to then use as the local match. Now that the rules have changed in Salem, we're not able to use that local match money, so we're not able to take like $2,000 and make it $6,000. We have less service than we can provide because we have less money to provide it for. So what Cascade East Transit is telling us is we need to downsize back to what we can afford, and they're looking at going to the published hours that are in the little schedules. Well, we've heard a lot of people here should hear some more that's a challenge, and so we're going to be looking for community conversations. One is, if we could find some local match, we could multiply those dollars to add more service. The other is, if we can't find local match, so we're stuck with these program hours, Are they the right hours? And if not, should we look at different hours? And then what does that mean in terms of cost? You know, if you tried to have hours where we started at 5 in the morning, we ended at night, but we had fewer hours during the day, that still someone's got to have a job that goes to work when and finishes, so that's almost like an hour a day and a half worth of work. So one and a half, you know, what I'm trying to say is I'm not sure how we would structure that, but those are the kind of things we probably need to hear is what is the need. You have things to add, Don?
No, except that I emailed Karen Friend, who's in charge, and we talked about it today with Rick, and we're going to try to have her come to the next city council meeting and make the presentation to us of what they can do and what funds are needed, so forth. And incidentally, because some of the riders of this transportation system live outside of the city, if this comes to fruition, we expect the county to kind of support us a little bit too.
Well, we're partners. We'll step up too.
Well, and so I mean, there are some people on this specific issue that are here. Do you want to make any statements?
Yeah.
Please introduce yourself.
My name is Patty King, and I've been a resident here for about 3 years, and I absolutely love Lapine. I love the people here, and I always love the fact that I could get picked up at my house and taken clear to bed where I walk to work, walk back to the Hawthorne station, and take back to my house. I have multiple sclerosis, so I'm not always able to get around like I need. However, if I went with the schedule that has the doorstep to bus stop, which is no longer there, but the one that is there, it would cut my hours back to 6 hours a week, or 6 hours a day. My boss will not go for that.
Because when you get picked up, you can't get there in time.
Correct, and I can't get back home within that time frame. Also, there's students that ride the bus. They have committed for this term to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. There's no way they can be picked up and taken to Wickiup or to Deschutes County Building and get to COICC by 8 o'clock for their classes. I have a veteran friend that rides the bus, and his appointments are always in the morning, and it's a first come, first serve, so he wants to get there at 8 o'clock in the morning. He can't if they cut those services, yes. I really think it's going to put a hardship on a lot of residents of Lapine. The other thing Tony and I discussed, advertising. And it doesn't have to be paid for advertising. See, half the people here in Lapine don't even know there's a bus that goes from door to door that takes you to Bend, to Redmond, to Pineville, to Sisters, to Madras, to Warm Springs. They don't even know that exists. And everybody's wanting the commute options and go green and all this. And this is an excellent opportunity for a community as our size of ours to say, hey, you know, we're on board with this. This is what we do for our community members. And I just really am saddened that they're thinking of cutting this, especially because we've been riding the bus for 3 years with this. And last year was the first time we ever got anything that was published that said that there was any times or not times. And now all of a sudden they're springing this on us. And so it's kind of sudden. They told us right after the first of the year. Yeah. And for the students that have already enrolled in school, you know, they can't change their classes. They can lose their funding.
Is the issue the Wickiup bus stop? Or is it getting to the Wickiup bus stop?
It's getting to the Wickiup bus stop.
So in other words, yeah.
It's called door stop to
right.
bus stop.
So in other words, if you have a relative, a friend, or a family that can get you to Wickiup, if that's the only one, I don't know if there's another one, but if you get there, then the bus can get you and take care of students. So the question really is then, if someone will come to your house and get you, and then take you to the bus stop.
Or a stop that we can walk to, even.
Well, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, within the city, I mean, how many stops do they have in the city? The Wickiup, is there another one?
Across the street here.
Deschutes County.
So basically, in the Lapine area, even under this plan, there's ways to obviously get to class and get to Bend and everything else. It's just that you would have to get the mile or
right,
two.
Right, the dial ride.
Because the city, I'm looking at the city from those two locations, you could basically draw mile circles and you're going to cover 95% of the population. So the issue is you got to get that 1 mile. Now, the people that are 5 and 6 miles out of town, that's a different issue. I'm trying to figure out how much of this is a city issue in the city, or is it an issue?
Well, actually, it's actually within the city because they have said that the CET buses travel within, I believe, the city limits. Don't quote me on that because I'm not positive. Yeah. But they have a map that shows where they go. They go to Sunrise, that's out past off Burgess, is that line. I don't know the other ways because I live out there, so I know where that line is. But when I lived off of Hackett, I did not have doorstop. I know they have go out to Maston, but not to Hackett. So it's actually in the city.
So, I think, you know, it took us a while. We were talking on the phone a few times, and we do need to get the word out to make sure people understand the services here. And then also, this door-to-door service has been very valuable for getting that early morning crowd. So I don't know that we're going to solve it all here tonight, but this is good information. Are there any other statements real quick from anybody here?
They just published it. In fact, I brought it over that says they plan on cutting the hours down. Effective February 1st.
Yes.
And there's one guy that's already lost his job because he couldn't make it.
I'd like to just see a show of hands of people in here that even knew that this bus existed.
Oh yeah, so.
They don't have any advertising. The only advertising I've seen is at like the senior center and maybe a couple of the doctor's offices. They have pamphlets on the desks or something. But I'd say the majority of the people in Lapine, the seniors, don't go to the senior center. Where I live, there's none of the ladies in there that go to the senior center, not any of them.
Please do.
I think a lot of people know that the service exists. I don't think they're educated on what it does, though. Because I've seen the buses. I mean, everyone has seen the buses, but I just don't think they're educated on. I didn't know that.
So as a community, I think that's probably one of the most valuable things we can do right now, as I say, is get the word out, use it, get the buses filled up, then we'll have more of a statement. Commissioner Unger is in the middle of the COIC governing body, and we do have a limited resources problem. You know, they're not going to say, oh, well, let's just send more money. There is no more money, so we'll have to figure out what we'll do.
Even if we could maybe pay a little extra for that door-to-door service, I'm not opposed to that. I don't know about other people being on fixed incomes and such. But the more I work, the more I make. Therefore, but I have to be there to make the money to work.
Well, I appreciate what the city manager was telling us, which is basically we got to think out of the box too, and maybe there's a way that we can help ourselves, because as we find the solution here, the solution's going to be if we need to keep service levels up, we've got to find money to pay for it. And if we can figure out how to change service so we still meet the need that's maybe in a different way, maybe that's a solution for now.
Is there because I've been involved in city government for years, but I know that there's funds available for small cities and rural cities such as ours, that maybe we could pay or supplement the ridership here that would help if we could get the funds from the city or through the city of Lapine from some funding or grants or something.
There is money, but it takes a local match. So if we could come up with the local match, I think like $2,000 turns into $6,000.
I just had a question. I want to understand something. If you got out there and you educated people, and perhaps you found some way to get more people to ride the bus because you found it would really meet their needs, and maybe save them money or whatever, be an alternative to driving, would an increase in numbers help the bus system? I mean, would that bring in enough more revenue to help? Or is it a losing cause every time somebody says, I just don't know. I don't know what it costs. I don't know anything.
I think the fare box does about 20% of the cost. So more numbers means 20% more increase in money, but there's that 80% too. So if we can fill the buses up, that's great, but if we have so many we got to add another bus, that's going to be another cost. So there's a balance.
So this is more of an information item, because we're not the right policy making board to really answer these questions tonight, but this is a great group of people to be hearing about the problem and distributing the information.
I wonder, as listening to this, the sort of question came up, or the idea. Now, would it be beneficial that, you know, we have two stops, apparently we have Wikia and we have South County Building here. Is there a way to manipulate the time and the stopping that you would have something further out?
Yeah, like even if they came to like the corner store.
Corner store out here on Day and Burgess. I mean, is that viable? Because
I don't know. Don's invited Karen to come. Mm-hmm. Karen knows the system. She put it together, and she could answer that.
I think there's going to be a good meeting of some people that really want to make some supportive decisions on this, and it's gone around, and I heard it back through a few channels now. So we started the ball rolling. We really have. So.
And the big picture, though, too, is that we've started this by taking state and other supported public money to grow the system. But in the big picture, we've got to find a stable local funding service. Usually bus systems, they don't make money, and they're funded by property tax, employer tax, sales tax, gas tax. We need to figure out how to fund this in the big picture, and we're looking at our options, and we have some grants to study that. So that will be more information coming in the future as we try to figure out how we make this a permanent system that can grow, too. So, but here we are today with the challenge we have today. That's the one to solve.
Can I say more?
Yes, so we're not going to go on too long tonight because this is got other topics, but please.
The bus. There's two what they call town buses or city buses that run around town here all day, and they pick up people and take them to the doctor and the shopping, post office, bank, places like that, and then take them back home. And in the early morning and the late evening, they run and pick up the people from the commuter bus that runs three times up and three times back in the morning and in the evening. So you can get the town bus or your car and go to Wiki Up or over here and pick up the commuter bus and go to Bend and then go to the bat station and run there. The problem is that people that go early in the morning and come home late at night are people that don't have driver's licenses, don't have insurance, don't have cars, don't want to drive their cars, and people like that. And some of these people, I said that there's going to be quite a few of them, or some of them, that are probably going to get a car and drive illegally because they don't have a driver's license. And things like that, maybe they don't have insurance, there's not a lot of people that can get rides from either their, you know, spouse or friends or parents or cousins, whoever. So that's the main problem, is getting them to the bus early in the morning and coming home late at night.
Thank you very much. Okay. So I knew there was a group in the room for that one. So I've just got another quick item. So I guess it's right here. Living on a Few Acres conferences are Deschutes County Farm Bureau, Round Butte Seed, Deschutes County itself, Department of Agriculture. So this is a good fit for most rural properties around here. So Saturday, March 3rd. So this is kind of an announcement. Deschutes County Fairgrounds. Up in Redmond. So this is a conference that it does cost $40 per person or $75 per couple. This fits right into drainage management. That's what my backyard looks like right now. But but weed management, manure management, you know, so any property that's an acre or so, it really kind of need to manage your property a little bit. Well, hello. And so this is an announcement, and we'll leave this brochure here. So that's all that. Commissioner Bainey's joining us. We do have...
I'll
adjust
my
tardiness. Not a problem. We do have a presentation.
We do.
Yeah. So we've got a gift for the city, and we were kind of waiting to get together for that. So this is another item for us. I snuck this in here, Stu, right when we were talking.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to keep a closer eye on it.
Yeah. So this is from the Deschutes County Commissioners to the city. And so this is in celebration of your new City Hall.
Wow.
This is a clock custom made for your hanging around here somewhere. So we would like to.
We were going to put it on island time, but we just.
Exactly.
No, that's a good thing.
Get that chair.
So yeah, we're going to do some of the things.
Okay. The City of Lapine, the outdoors at your front door. Established 1910, Incorporated 2006. Best wishes for a bright future from Deschutes County.
Talking to me outside, I'm like, oh, I gotta go. I'll be back in a
minute. Well, I would like to say that on behalf of the City Council, City Staff, and our residents of the City of Lapine, we are extremely grateful to accept this beautiful clock and plaque from the County Commissioners and the County at large.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
We're very proud of your hard work.
You do well. That's great. I'd also like to say that I'm going to do this.
We contributed to the local economy, too.
There you go. I don't doubt that that was the case. But, you know, I received a call from, an email from Commissioner Bainey regarding the idea of the city starting a regular scheduled session set of meetings on an annual basis, like quarterly, just like all the other cities.
Except Bend.
Right. Bend. they toe their own mark. But all the other cities that actually have a regular scheduled sit-down with the Deschutes County Commission Board. I thought it was a magnificent idea, and I thought it was also time that Lapine got to join the rest of the cities as a regular city. And this is the forming. We've been a partner of the counties, with the county for a long time, but this is actually really setting in stone the fact that we are full partners. And I can't say enough for the partnership that I've experienced and the council's experienced since I came into office earlier. So, we're extremely proud of the county commissioners and the county staff. They do a lot for us. I haven't had a time once that I haven't called somebody at the county and got instant help, and it's gratifying. So thank you very much, and we're extremely grateful for this.
Well, we're proud to be your partner.
Yes, absolutely.
Turn this over to staff because we're policy.
And it's heavy. Make sure you hang it appropriately. So that was our hidden other item. Along this real quick, I guess, is weed board. So weeds along the highways and stuff. We have a weed manager in the county, Dan Sherwin, and he's part of this also. But there's a request for somebody to be on a weed board. There's an annual weed pull in the spring. So just more information if people are passionate about that kind of thing. I was asked to bring that today. So on that one.
All right.
I'm just going down a whole list here. Another note, just real quick, well testing. So our DEQ steering committee. So this is an issue basically outside the city because the city has sewer. But our South County residents are very interested to know. We do have well testing results from well tests that were taken last year in the fall. They came out this week. The DEQ steering committee, the citizens on that group, have all received a copy of that from DEQ. And will be discussed at their next meeting. It's about February 7th or something. It's like the first or second Tuesday of the month. So I'm not sure what the date of that next meeting is. But that's something that we're all kind of interested in knowing what's going to happen in the long run on that. So well testing has been done. I have the results too. So a few have gone up, a few have gone down. A lot have stayed the same. So what exactly does that mean? Well, we're going to analyze it more. So,
all right.
I think that's it for my little list here. So,
all right. Commissioner Maney, is there anything that you wanted to add?
Took FEMA to task today. So I would not. We're working on that issue, which is of significance in your backyard, mm-hmm. making sure that we're able to do the fuels management and get those grants going. It is exciting that we have the grant that will be released for 2010. That's been held up. And today they determined that they can move forward with that grant, which will help us do the sweat equity in neighborhoods and all of that,
right.
So we can continue that. So I think for your area, that'll be... it's of huge concern to make sure that we're safe.
Big time, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you very much. Is there anything?
A couple just quickies, and I sent them to you. One was Huntington. Is there drainage issues that you guys are working on?
Yes.
Okay. There's a pond or two.
I spoke or got an email from our county engineer, George Cole, and he indicated that they've surveyed the area and now they're evaluating the alternatives to try to fix the problem. There's a number of alternatives, including using the existing swale in front of the fire station or possibly using fire department property. County staff is in conversations with the fire chief. Also, another option is to run a storm drain along 3rd Street, and a fourth identified option so far is to tie it into the existing pipe. So right now we're going through kind of the analysis from the different engineering options to fix that problem.
Is I said, why have you seen that?
Well, so a couple things. So we had the sewer truck out there pulling up water in front of the Prairie House. So that, I mean, we should celebrate the coordination of the city and the sewer district and, the needs being taken care of. My understanding, there is a drain out there that they were trying to check out, and the road engineering department sent a map of the as-built underground, wherever the directions are. So that's evolving right now, too. But as I say, we should celebrate the sewer district did help Prairie House out with the big water problem there.
Well, there's still a problem there. And I made one phone call to Ashley at the department, and she said, I'll get a hold of Scott and we'll see what we can do. And by the time I drove over there, who was the other person?
Jake.
Oh, Jake. Okay. Was already there with one truck.
Good.
5 minutes later, the second truck showed up, and they pumped the water out of the middle of the street to prevent the water from flooding Prairie House. So it was a very, very fast, temporary fix.
Mm-hmm.
And they did talk about the pipes that were already existing under the ground that went out to the meadow and somehow to tie into those. So there was an awesome first test of sewer, water, and city coming together. So it was a great, great job.
And then there's a third in Huntington is there's a lake there and that does not even have drainage available. So that's the other one that needs to be designed.
I had a business ask me about the fees the county charged for the, and I'm just raising it so you guys get it on the record for on their behalf. Our small businesses suffer here, they are all over, but it kind of hit me as pretty high, and it's not a criticism of anything, it's just probably what you've done, it is, but the restaurant license fee, they showed me the bill. It was between $800 and $900 is what the county charges, and I've been in the place several times, and I would say usually I was one of only, yesterday when I was there. Sometimes there's 10 or 15 people there. Yeah, they may have 50 or 60 chairs because back when things were booming, but, it just is the hardship of that kind of money. There's no payment plan. You have to write a check in January. You're crowding $1,000. To have a couple health inspections a year. That might be great if you're in downtown Bend and you've got them lined up out the door on Friday night, but if you think of all these little restaurants around here having to turn out that kind of money. So I guess whoever, when you go to raising these fees, I think that what happens is you probably throw on another 25 or another 50, and over time these things get higher, but that's a lot of money for just a permit to have your restaurant. It doesn't, of course, go into the OLCC permits and all the other things that the person has. But anyway, I told him I'd pass it on because,
is that annually?
Yeah. And, it's, again, if you were maybe in the bigger city, that's one thing. But out in the smaller little cities like this or the unincorporated areas, a lot of these restaurants are the mom and pops. And, just be aware when you do these fee schedules, and they're not going to come down and say anything. They're busy trying to run their businesses. But at some point, fees can only go so high. And I would say at that rate, you guys have pushed that envelope.
We'll look for that.
Pretty good. So
thank you for that.
Well, and what we're doing is, as the county, we're taking state law and applying it at a local level. So these things are things we have to do because the state prescribes us to do them. I appreciate the thought of having a payment plan because we can, that would be an option to keep things kind of as is and moving forward. But in terms of affordability, I think, you know, we can review what we do and why we charge what we do and see if there's other options.
Yeah. I think part of it might be based on the square footage of the restaurant, but I'll be happy to find out from our health services department how that fee is calculated.
Okay. And with sewer and water, it's great to have all the districts here. You sent me in back there today, sent me down. Tom did. We've got, there's a couple loans, and Brian can be the historian along with Tom, but we will need to, as we're assuming the sewer and water, we're really down about 5 months. There's obviously a $1 million plus arrangement loan that the county made with the new communities that involved all the South County sewer issues that predated me, obviously. And then there's another one with buying the water system originally, and then I've been told that that just is hanging out there, and you don't have to make payments. Or so anyway, there's several, I guess there must be some notes or loans or agreements, and so I guess maybe we need to know, we'd like to start working on it, and who do we work with, and is it something we need to initiate and have our attorney drop, or is it something that you guys would just transfer these, or, you know, with some sort of a new IGA that just says the old terms are good for the city, and, you know, as the months will click along, and we don't want to wait till June 30th on that.
Come on in.
Again, Tom Anderson, I'm the Community Development Director. I can really only speak to the sewer district loan. The water district, to set it up, was not through CDD, not from my shop. But the big one, we have actually already asked that question of our legal counsel in terms of if the sewer district were to become part of the city, what would happen. According to the advice that we received, we really don't technically need to do anything, that it would transfer automatically as a obligation of the district. Once it became part of the city, then it would officially become a city obligation as well. And that doesn't mean that we couldn't, to make things cleaner perhaps, do a replacement intergovernmental agreement similar to the one with the sewer district, just to make sure that everything is spelled out and everybody understands what exactly that obligation is, which is up to you all, but certainly.
We don't, if your legal counsel says that $1 million loan, we don't ever have to sign the document on, I would not recommend the council worrying about it. If you guys are happy keeping it under the districts that go away, I can't imagine that. Really, to think about it, I mean, because the district's dissolved, and who's technically responsible for that loan?
Well, again, it's a policy decision for you all to make.
Well, no, that's fine with us then. I mean, we don't want to sign on any loans. We don't have to.
Yes, I mean, just to be clear, that the obligation doesn't go away. Just the obligation automatically transfers from the district to the city as part of that consolidation.
Okay, well, we won't worry any more about it then, based on that. And then the water.
I haven't found that out. I'm still trying to find out from staff the $60,000 loan from
Brian.
Well, I can tell you a little history about it. When we first began to build the water system, before we had anything in the ground or anything, the well site was up there, and we had to buy it from the person who had done the initial research up there. And so that was purchased for $60,000 from Michigan County. Of course, we had no money at the time. Not a penny to our name. And so we had a meeting with the Chiefs County Commissioners, none of which are here tonight.
Is this the Pat Giesler story?
Yes.
I didn't want to go into that because it involved
Hoaxmaker, even with me. So we just won't mention that and all those parameters. But the final thing was it had to be transferred because that's where the well site was, and we knew there was water up there. And to produce the water that Repine was going to need, that was the well site. And so we purchased it for $60,000. There was many felt like it was, how shall I say, $60,000 that should never have been spent, but it was. And so at that time, Deschutes County Commissioners basically told us that perhaps that it would just go away someday. I don't know what that means. But I'm not in your position, so I don't, you know, I mean, maybe that was something Deschutes County thought it was a worthy cause and felt later on that it would, and maybe it needs to be paid back. I don't know, you know, I just was under the impression that it wouldn't need it. But that was many, many years ago, and there's new commissioners now, and so perhaps that's something that you guys should address and come to a conclusion on, and then if it is going to go away, then perhaps now is the time to do it. You know, now that's going to be transferring, you know, and get rid of that particular article and not have it be a problem. If it needs to be paid back, then maybe now is the time to address it and get that money back, you know, because if there's ever going to be a time that it's a good time to do it, it's now, you know. We won't go into all the other historical things, but I think that's kind of the drift, you know, where we're coming from. So I think, you know, maybe it would be good for Lapine Water and the county commissioners get together at some point, if that's what you guys want, and make that determination and find out how we can put it to rest, perhaps.
And I could research it from the staff perspective and update the board of commissioners as a first step. I think would be.
That'd be good way.
And I think Susan would be a wealth of information on this issue
too.
Yeah, probably it'd be nice to clean that up before it comes to us. You know, on one hand, you think it's nice to have it sitting out there, and you just hope it goes away. But the reality is, it's probably on someone's balance sheet. It's on somebody's audit.
Yes.
And you have it as an asset. Someone else has it as a debt. Yet there's no payments on it. There doesn't appear to be any interest accruing.
Yeah.
What is this thing?
Yeah.
And.
Well, I appreciate you bringing it up because we wouldn't naturally revisit it. So this is a good time.
Yeah. So sometime between in the next 2 or 3 months, it would be nice to get that figured out so that we know what debt we're assuming. And then as we start studying, you know, long-term costs and everything.
So. We will look into it.
We'll put it on the list.
Yeah.
At this time, while we have the county commissioners in attendance and sewer and water, I would like to introduce our prospective city manager, full-time, versus an interim, a long-time interim city manager, and Stephen Hassan, who is
how do you do, folks?
With us this evening. From?
Hey.
We are anxiously awaiting the opportunity to put him in harness.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm anxiously awaiting that opportunity as well. I'm over in Boise, Idaho right now. I drove over here today so that I could witness this historic event of two folks coming together, this wonderful plaque that you provided the city. One of the things that really enticed me to apply for this position is when I found out that I made the short list, Joan and I came over and spent 3 days in this community just talking to the folks and trying to get a sense of this would be a place for us to be. And I got to tell you that the embrace that we received in this community, it is just an extended family. And we want to be part of that extended family. And that's why I applied. And I got to tell you that this is just a wonderful place to be. And thank you so much. You have such a wonderful mayor.
don't talk that down. It cost me a lot to get him to say.
Nice to meet you.
I wrapped up the background stuff and all of that, then we're just finishing the contract with him, you know, so if he wouldn't be so hard on the contract, we'll love
I thought $250,000 was a very...
He brought that one from California and used that as his template. But we should have that done next week, so we may have a special meeting that's just 10 minutes to make the council to ratify a contract, and then sometime after that he would be on board. So that's kind of the plan. The official vote will probably be not next week, it'd be the following week would be my guess right now. Again, depending on when the attorney and everything can agree and get this signed. There's no major hang-ups, so just a process.
Okay.
I have an outfit for him for the La Pine Frontier Days.
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about that.
So I mean,
look
including
out.
The tiara and the bow. I don't know what kind of initiation you plan to do.
Oh, there will be a good
okay.
one.
Yes.
You guys hate us people.
Yeah. And he is prepared to drop Boise State.
Oh.
There are limits.
One of the things that we will be doing, and we will be assuming the planning and building. We have an IG with the county now, but he is the planning director in a town many times larger than us currently, and has an MPA, something like that. You got two or three of those, so. So we will be assuming the planning and zoning and code responsibilities here, which is what the communities wanted. We'll kind of be able to. So I told him today we were talking. That's one of the first things that he needs to get going on is figuring out how we do and how to time it, and you know, because we're at the very entry level on it. But I talked to Les Schwab today, their manager of real estate, and he said they built a new store 2-3 years ago. They did their first store, I'm assuming, in his city, and he said he wanted to box him up and take him to Colorado and other Utah where they're expanding right now. I mean, I think that says a lot. But for the county perspective, you'll be able to get rid of us on the zoning code side of things, and it's worked out great currently. But we do want to start enforcing some of our codes. We haven't been able to do, you know, we get a lot of complaints on, you know, the home occupations and kind of the clutter and the debris and some of the things at some of the properties here, and the county code's a little broader, you know, cities have a little few more rules and regulations on that, so it'll give us a chance to take that next step down the road. And I also want to thank you for letting us be an occupant and a tenant since the city formed over across the street. We were very happy to leave. But it was a nice interim home for us, and your staff was great to work with, and you know, the date moved a couple times, and it's just the deal. So I'd say this, and I said it the last time you guys were here back a year and a half ago, but the relationship and the support I've received from the county has been great. When I send an email out, ask a question, they respond. Nick, Mr. Anderson, Chris Doty now, I mean, Mr. Blues.
You know,
before he retired, he would. But I'll tell you, they really do respond. I mean, within a half hour, and I mean, he sent me some stuff, and I left him a message. He even called to make sure I got it all. So you hear these war stories about how governments don't work together, or that you know, there's a bunch of these folks out there. But I think that you three commissioners and your manager should be really proud of your senior staff, because they do work well. We still are trying to work out a dog ordinance, but that's with the sheriff's department, and we're working through that. We've adopted a dog ordinance, and we'll hopefully get that to where it can be enforced in the city. So that's all I have with the county directly. We obviously have some issues we want to talk about with the districts, but I don't know that the county people want to stay, but they sure can.
I think we're going to be set. Do you have anything else?
I just have one last thing, and that's just an update on the Lapine conveyance bill in Congress. You know, it passed the Senate, moved to the House. It's passed out of the Committee on Energy and Natural Resources, and now in the Public Land Subcommittee. So it's moving slow.
Commissioner, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask the sewer and water and the other councilors if they've got anything to ask of the commissioners. Want to start here, Dave?
Nothing I
think.
I think all I'd say has already been said about the cooperative partnership that we seem to have, and it's really been a great experience for my short term on the council. It's just been really. Really nice. We just feel really well supported here, so thank you all.
Terry? Okay, Stu?
Where to start?
No!
From the very beginning when Lapine was incorporated, the cooperation that the county has given the city has been outstanding.
from the first meeting that we had, you know, it was we were well received. I believe some of the coffee cup is still somewhere, I hope, around that was given to the city. I don't know where it's at, but you know, it was a good experience. It still is a good experience. As mentioned earlier with the water problems, that Wednesday night, it took one phone call. Mr. Cobb wasn't in. I was transferred to Ed in the road department. I'm not sure.
Ed Landers?
Yes, I think so. He made arrangements, brought down some signs the very next morning. Sandbags were brought down. We were set for the worst, but luckily we didn't need it. He's followed up a couple times with me. So, you know, it's always been a good experience. You guys, both, and girls. I've always made us feel welcome, and I appreciate that. And the same for the staff. You know, you guys have just been totally awesome with everything. So, hope we keep the relationship going. Thank you.
Brian?
I'm going to say it just sounds like you have a many thanks for the work and the dedication.
Bill?
Oh, nothing really. Tom Troop would show up tonight.
Yes, you've been around a long time.
In dealing with the county, and as commissioners, you like to hear some kudos on some people. And I called George out at the shop, and he thought Finley Butte Highway, freeway here, Finley Butte Freeway, was 55 miles an hour. It's 35. And when I told him, I said, you know, people are, you know, they're doing 65 down there. 3 or 4 days later, here's a 35 mile speed signs going up. And I live on a cul-de-sac, and people pull in the cul-de-sac, all they do is turn around, you know, because they don't know it's cul-de-sac unless it says dead end. And I told George, 3 or 4 days later, there it is, dead end, you know. So you guys really do a good job.
Ask him for $1 million, see what happens. Yeah. And he brought a suitcase. Thank you,
Bill.
Thanks,
Don.
You know, I came on the council a while back, and I was pretty new to politics, and it's been quite an experience. But I will say this: that serving on the COIC and for a while on the COAC board has been an eye opener for me, and all of the things that has to be done. It isn't like private business where you go in and say, I move, second, pass, do it. That doesn't work in government. So it's been an experience. And really, I like to thank Alan because Alan's kind of always been there. And if I needed a question asked, I could ask Alan, and I got an answer from him right away. And he's really somebody that's knowledgeable about government, and I appreciate that, Alan. And I'm not trying to not say anything about you, Tammy, or about our commissioner from the city here, but I think that we've had a really good relationship with the county. Thank you.
Okay.
And I appreciate Don. He travels the longest to come to the Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council meetings. In fact, he spends the night in Redmond just so he doesn't have to drive back. So that, to me, is dedication. And I also I really appreciate that we have the city of Lapine, and that the city of Lapine works at solving the problems and addressing the issues down here. You can do so much better job than the county can on a daily basis that we really appreciate having you here.
And for myself, I think I've said it there, but I just will go along with everything that everybody said. It is a great partnership. I've made some phone calls to the staff at county level, and it's been just like Stu said, boom. And Rick pointed out they get back to you, they have solutions, recommendations, and it's great. And I've had a great deal of opportunity to deal with the commissioners themselves, and I get emails back, I get phone calls, and I'm grateful. And that's a partnership. So thank you very much.
Well, we're looking forward to meeting on a regular basis. I mean, this is kind of the beginning again, your new city hall, and things seem to be going pretty well for the city.
Do you do quarterly or every 6 months or what?
Every other month, don't we?
Well, it can be anything. Also what works.
Yeah, yep, it could be anything.
It's generally quarterly, and then sometimes there's no agenda item, so that both entities skip a meeting.
Well, then April would be the next, and we're in January now, so if maybe we put note of that to think about it in April, and go from there. Because if you want to do it 3 or 4 times a year, you don't want to, obviously, too often. We have our own, as you have your own agenda. Our agendas are full, so you have to be.
I believe that there's plenty going on, and there will be for us, especially in this economic climate, that that we go ahead and set our calendars for this quarterly, and then do the coordination that necessary to either make the meeting happen and that has agenda items that will serve us both. I just think it's a good way to approach, and we can always modify that to everybody's satisfaction, I'm sure. So.
Well, our planning event's planned for 18 months, so that's a year and a half. You know, so we got some things that'll stay there for a while right now. We'll have some agenda.
All right.
Very good. So I'm going to move to adjourn one of our